I titled this sermon this morning, Pathway to Peace. I'd like to think about that for a minute. Has anybody here ever had a disagreement with somebody? How about with somebody that you love? Some of us can go on for days, weeks, even years just simply mad at another person. At times, the tension lasts so long that both parties can't even remember why they don't speak anymore. Sometimes it's with a neighbor. Many times it's a friend that we get angry with. But very often it's a relative, maybe a brother or a sister. What is it that causes such discourse in our lives? This morning, we heard the story of Joseph and his brothers. What is in this story that turns the brothers away from Joseph? Why are they so full of hatred for their younger brother? We learned in the reading that the brothers sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites, who brought him to Egypt, where he was taken, kept as a slave, and even thrown in jail. But again, I ask, why were Joseph's brothers so full of disdain? I've been reading a book called Women of the Bible Speak. It was written by Shannon Bream. While she reviews and explains the biblical stories, she weaves in pieces about the women behind the men that we so often hear about. So this morning, I'd like to pull back a bit and start a few generations earlier, including some of the women of the Bible that were in Jacob's life. I'm going to begin with Joseph's parents, who we know were Jacob and Rebekah. So we'll start with Joseph's father, Jacob. We know that Jacob was a twin, the second-born son to Isaac and Rachel. His twin Esau was the first-born son. There was a bit of rivalry between these two brothers. You see, their mother, Rachel, excuse me if I get the Rachel and Rebecca crossed here, they favored Jacob while their father Isaac favored Esau. Jacob was known as a scam artist, and it seems he scammed his brothers several times. His worst stunt was upon their father's death, when, with the help of his mother, he stripped his brother Esau from his blessing as the firstborn son. When this happened, Esau threatened to kill Jacob. And Rebekah, I guess, being fearful for the life of her favorite son, cautioned Jacob to leave and flee to her brother Laban's home, which was located in a faraway place. Well, Jacob continued scamming until on his way to Laban's home, he had a vision of a stairway connecting heaven and earth. At that time, God gave Jacob a blessing and a promise. This blessing changed his life, and from that moment on, Jacob changed his ways. In Genesis 28, verses 13 to 15, God promised Jacob that he and his descendants would be like the dust of the earth and spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. God told him that all peoples on earth would be blessed through his offspring. God told him, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. With that blessing from God, Jacob continued his journey to his uncle's house. When at his uncle's house, he worked for Laban, watering his sheep. And one day, he feasted his eyes upon Laban's beautiful younger daughter, Rachel, and he immediately fell in love. He made an agreement with his uncle that he would work for him for 7 years in return for Rachel's hand in marriage. But after 7 years, Jacob was double-crossed by his uncle. You see, Rachel's sister, Leah, was not as beautiful, and Laban worried about her, so he substituted one daughter for the other, which Jacob did not know about until after this marriage took place. In today's world, we often say what comes around goes around. This time it was Jacob that was tricked by his uncle. So what happens next? Jacob finishes out his bridal week and then he makes another deal with Laban. He was to work for another 7 years so that he might have Rachel's hand in marriage. Can you imagine being tricked on your wedding day? Think about the jealousy and rage that ran through the sisters, and through Jacob and Rachel during this time of waiting. After another 7 years, Jacob finally did marry the true love of his life, Rachel. Throughout the Bible, We see that the men often have more than one wife, along with a number of concubines. What do any of us think this could do to a relationship? With all the jealousy that God saw, he allowed Rachel's sister Leah to conceive children, but not Rachel. So Rachel had her servant bear not one, but two children for her. And after many years and much prayer, God finally blessed Rachel and answered her prayer, enabling her to conceive also. She named her first son Joseph. So between the four women in Jacob's life, his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and his two concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah, he fathered 12 sons, and it is said at least one daughter. You see how the women get left out? In order, his sons were named Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, all who eventually became heads of their own family groups, just as God had promised in Genesis 28. Genesis 29, verse 31, tells us more about the relationship between the sisters, but it's far too much to read this morning. What we know is that the jealousy between Leah and Rachel continued until one day when it was time for the family to move from Laban and leave the only home that these two women knew. It was then that they renewed their bond and they joined together. Besides Jacob and their children, they would only have each other on this journey. In these verses, we see and we learn something else. We learn that Jacob's true love was Rachel and that Joseph is the first son that Rachel conceived. It stands to reason that this may be why Joseph was held in such high regard by his father and shown so much more favoritism than any of his brothers were held. Genesis 37:3 tells us clearly, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. But do we see what happened here? First, with Jacob and Esau, how their mother, Rebekah's love for one son more than the other, affected the relationship between her boys. Then, with the women, Laban's concern for Leah brought him to trick Jacob, and this caused years of stress and dismay between both of his daughters, affecting their relationship in a very negative way. Sadly, in both of these instances, the fighting and hard feelings were attributed to the acts of someone else. In these examples, it was the parents that seemed to cause the problems. But let's get back to Joseph. When Joseph was 17, we learned that he told his brothers of two dreams he had. Apparently, Joseph had an affinity for deciphering the meaning of dreams. In the first dream, he and his brothers gathered grain, and in the second dream, the sun depicted his father, the moon depicted his mother, and 11 stars depicted his 11 brothers, and they all bowed down to him. And this angered and made the brothers very, very jealous. That's when they plotted to kill Joseph. And that is until, of course, we learn that Reuben convinced them that there might be a better way to get rid of him. First, they threw him in the pit, and then they decided they could sell him to a passing caravan of Midianites, which they did. And as we learned also in today's scripture, Joseph was away in Egypt. It was 22 years before he came back, and 13 of those years he was either enslaved or imprisoned. Genesis 41, verses 14 to 24, explains that Joseph was released from jail because he was able to decipher the meaning of a dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can explain it for me. I heard you can explain dreams when someone tells you of them." And Joseph answered, "I cannot, but God can explain the dream for you," which he did. And during his last 7 years in Egypt, Joseph was favored by God and given plenty. What a life and what distress. And so much of it began over the brothers' jealousy, which, as we see, was most likely the cause of the caused by the favoritism that their father had for Joseph. As we look at the long story of Joseph, along with the stories of his ancestors, which included his parents and grandparents, we can clearly see that jealousy and hatred go back generations. But there is a lesson here as well. Genesis 42 tells us that when famine came, the brothers went to Egypt to buy grain. The chapter goes on to explain the story in detail, that the brothers did not know it was Joseph they were seeing. But in the end, not only did Joseph sell them grain, he also gave them back their money. This morning, I ask each of us to examine our relationships with the many frustrations we may have and ask ourselves, is it really worth it? Is it worth the fight and the bad feelings, as I said earlier, which often occurs between siblings? And what can each of us do to change this? How often do we wait until the chips are down before we patch up a relationship? How many years pass in between that time? How much precious time is lost when our relationships are in turmoil? Well, as we heard about the sisters Leah and Rachel, we learned that after years of resentment, they finally patched up their relationship. You see, neither of the women wanted to move from the area where they were raised, but Jacob needed to move his family. And as his wives, they were destined to go with him. Remember, the exchange of brides was not their doing. It was their father Laban's trick which created this mess. At the end of it all, aside from their children, all they had in this new land was each other. And after some time, Jacob's sons learned that it was their brother Joseph who had supplied them with food when they were hungry, and he did not take their money. Quite honestly, in my own family, there have been times when siblings and I have had some rough patches. One time in particular kept me away for quite a long time. And being that there are six of us, I probably don't have to tell you that there were plenty of little spats along the way. Sadly, I admit that it was those horrible chips that are falling right now which brought us all closer together again. Somehow, whatever occurred to keep some of us apart is no longer important. All of these incidents took place without the added stress of additional wives and concubines. Ladies, I ask, can you even imagine? But seriously, reading about these family fights got me thinking not only about Jacob and Esau, or Rebekah and Leah, or even Joseph and his brothers, but what my family has been through and what is really most important. Well, every Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer. As a matter of fact, we just prayed it a little while ago. But I'm going to ask you to join me reciting it once again. This time, we're going to go line by line. We start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed meaning consecrated or greatly revered and honored. We honor our Father, who is in heaven. Let's continue with the next two lines. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is pretty straightforward also. We are telling God that we will do the same on this earth that he might expect from us in heaven. But are we really doing what we think God will expect from us? Followed by, give us this day our daily bread. This daily bread includes not only our meals, but of course it includes the gifts, comforts, and opportunities that God has provided for us. And let us not forget one of the most important gifts, the gift of our family. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 states, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God truly does answer our prayers. Continue, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And here, I ask, does God forgive us our trespasses? I think he does. I think he forgives us over and over and over again. But the real question is, do we honestly forgive those who trespass against us? Or instead of saying, as we forgive those, might it be better to ask God to help us? Help us forgive those who have trespassed against us. And we continue, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And we all know that we are tempted over and over and over again. Let us think back to a couple of Sundays ago when Pastor Debbie was telling us and the youth about those two invisible persons on our shoulders, one being the angel and one being the devil, leading us down God's path and continuously tempting us. As we leave here today, I simply ask you to please examine your relationships and consider what is most important in your life. We don't always have to agree, but we should show each other respect. And lastly, let's ask our Father to lead us from temptation and to help us forgive our trespassers. Because remember, forgiveness is the pathway to peace. Amen.